Hello, everyone. All right. So what are we coaching on? I guess you don't want to coach on join with audio.
Oh, my gosh. I knew this was going to happen. I was like, what if her audio doesn't work and I have to go first? Okay. But I'm glad. I'm so nervous.
You know, it's so funny because like when I go places and I'm going to have to, everybody always thinks it's probably easy for me to speak, you know, because I speak all the time. But when it's not my gig, then I'm always like, ugh. I always like, I'll go first because I like to just get it out of the way.
Yeah. Same here. But I'm shaking. I'm so nervous. It's just, I have a social anxiety thing. And
I promise you, after about a minute of me yelling at you, you'll just be in a in a tornado of Corinne and not know what to do.
Well, first of all, let me just say that if I wasn't so sore from training for your race, I would be like jumping on the sofa right here, like Tom Cruise on Oprah. Okay, because I'm so excited to meet you.
Hey. That's hilarious. So, what do you need help with?
So, this seems kind of silly in a way. I don't know. I have two goals this year. One is weight loss, and obviously, I'm here, and I'm doing all the things, working the basics. I gotta look at my notes. I haven't a Marco Polo group. I'm watching, listening as much as I can. I actually gained weight in the beginning. I think that's probably a normal thing, maybe, or it happens.
I mean, it can happen. It just depends on what your problems were and stuff. I mean, a lot of people lose weight in the beginning, but some people do. Just depend. I mean, you were eating. We don't gain weight because we're not overeating in some way, right?
Yeah, right. Sorry, cut out a little bit there. I don't know why this.
It's fine. Just keep going.
Anyway,
I think your connection's bad. No, pause. Go ahead.
All right. Well, anyway, so I'm doing the mental work on the weight loss.
I tell you what, give me 1 second. So starting again.
Okay, cool.
Third time's a charm.
Sorry. All right. Wait, now I'm all screwed up here. Anyway. Okay. So I'm doing all the things for weight loss. Working on the mental work. I'm not succeeding yet, but I'm learning.
Okay.
So my second goal is decluttering my house. Like that's the area I want to take big ass action in. But I am like a sentimental hoarder. Okay. And I grew up in a really dysfunctional, abusive home, and we were really poor. So I have like a lot of deprivation issues with food. And I have all of their shit from life.
Okay, I'm going to just, I'm going to just talk.
From what's getting rid of it because.
I know this is frustrating for you.
That's okay.
Because you're trying to have your moment and the internet is not wanting to work with you. It's like. Damn it, I'm trying to talk about my past and my deprivation of the damn internet. It's depriving me of my moment.
But you think it's you, not me.
I thought it was me, but I killed everything. So now I think it's just.
You're just not that into me.
No, I'm totally into it. I love all kinds of good deprivation talk. So let me ask you this. If you had to choose between weight loss and you had to choose between your decluttering, which one is the most important for you to work on right now?
The weight loss, for sure.
Okay. What I would like for you to do is just set aside the decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I typically see. When you really start working on the weight loss and you dial that in and you start letting go of all the problems that come along with the weight loss, mm-hmm. we naturally want to start cleaning up our outside environment. As our inside mm-hmm. environment cleans up, we start wanting the outside environment to match us. When we hold on to lots of things, it's no different than holding on to the food for our comfort. We're holding mm-hmm. on to things for our comfort. This is stability of my past and stuff. So you'll notice that as you work on the inside and that cleans up, the outside starts looking different. You start expecting more of the outside. So I just think working on your weight loss is going to kind of give you more traction first. I think it's really important to identify which one, because this is what will happen. Both will be equally important and none will equally get done well.
Right.
And you'll be frustrated. Because I promise you, if you start decluttering and getting rid of things, that's going to feel hard. It's going to feel a lot of emotion. And if you haven't learned how to handle your food yet, guess what you're going to want to do? Eat while you declutter.
Right. That's what I was afraid of. But then I listened to a call the other day. A girl was wanting to train or take a test, study for a test. And you were like, why the fuck can't you do that while you're doing the weight loss? So I was like, oh shit, maybe I should be decluttering at the same time.
Yeah, but she was using her studying as an excuse to not work on her weight. There was a big difference. Okay. She was conflating the two. You're like saying, I want to do both and stuff. Your situation is just very different.
Yeah.
You're not trying to say like, well, the reason why I can't lose weight is because of all this clutter.
Right.
It's like, no, you're like, I want to change my life. And these are all the problems. Which one do I do? And she was saying like, no, I have my noble obstacle over here. This is why I can't work on the weight loss. And like, there was a big, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me why you're not losing weight yet. Are you losing weight? Or tell me where you're at with the weight loss.
Okay. Well, I started at like 211 and then I went up to 217 and now I'm at 213. So
211.
I'm starting to go in the right direction.
Good. And then you joined in January?
Yeah.
Okay. So January. What happened between 211 and 217?
I think, well, I asked quite a few questions and you always kept getting on me about making a realistic plan because I have like a lot of diet mentality. I've, you know, been doing restriction and binge for, you know, 30 years or something. So, I think when I started making a realistic plan, I was kind of just eating all the things. And then I was like, wait, maybe I don't need to eat all the things since I can have them. So
funny how that works, right?
It is. And I'm putting stuff on my plan every day, like cookies and milk or some kind of treat. And it is, I like don't have to eat it every day. Now that I've put it on there, I'm like, maybe I just won't have that. And it's like, oh, wow. Wow.
But well, then you said all this because we have all these newbies that are going to be listening to this. And their first thing they're going to say is that realistic plan is bullshit.
Like, yeah. Y'all make a fucking realistic plan because I wasn't, and it was so dumb and I was feeling deprived and then eating more.
That's the perfect. That's why I wanted to ask you about 211 to 217, what was going on. You were literally just going through, not every, like sometimes the day you start making realistic plans is the day you decide like, ooh, I don't know if I can eat it, lose weight eating that. I'm going to choose different. Sometimes it takes a little bit. And then you're like, I don't think I need all this all the time. If I get to plan it, that's even better. And you're trending back down. So I'm not worried about you on that. So do you feel good about continuing how you're going? Do you have any questions on going forward?
I'm actually, MJ Sharifi is in my
oh my God, you got such a good accountability group.
I know, it's awesome. And like, I had a totally different question last week, but she totally set me straight. And I was like, what the hell am I going to coach on? So
he's like brunette Corinne.
She is a mini Corinne. I'm telling you, like it's pretty amazing. You have taught her very well. So this was just the other thing that really, like, I start feeling everything when I start trying to declutter. Cause all the sentimental stuff, I'm like, it's like letting go of it is like somehow dishonoring my children's childhood. It's been really,
well, here's the thing. When we, like, I
don't know, it's been such a, and mine was that I can't really find a way to let go.
I wouldn't let go of it yet. Here's what I would do is I would get some, where's all this clutter laid out or in boxes?
Well, it's funny. It's in bins in the garage and in the basement, kind of like my fat's in my belly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just,
baggage is in my belly. It's all in the basement of the house.
Okay. Here's what I would do. I would just start saying, okay, here's the first step of letting go of some of that stuff. The first thing you have to do is let go of the attachment. You don't actually have to get the shit out to start working on the attachment to it. So what I would do, especially with your accountability group, is start, you do thought downloads and models.
Yeah, I'm starting to do them.
Okay. I would do thought downloads on your, like, why am I attached to them? Why do I think, why am, and always say it this way. Why am I choosing to think that the love and the attachment is in the things versus my memories and my children? And then you can ask yourself questions like, what is the other truth here? Is the love, is the, like, whatever you're defining the stuff, like what it means to have it, what's the other truth? Like, so another truth about the stuff could be, it served a beautiful purpose. I can take pictures of it and somebody else could use it. Or I can take pictures. Like, there can always be alternate truths before you get ready to let go of any of it. Because what this will do is will allow you to really focus on your weight loss and not drum up a lot of, like, cold turkey, we're ditching the shit stuff. Because then it's just going to create a lot of emotion that you may or may not be ready to not eat over yet. So what I would rather you do is work on detaching from the thoughts around the stuff. And then when you're, like, really feeling good and your weight loss is rocking and rolling, you'll know, just like the realistic plan, when it's time to let it go. You'll start with, okay, let's just say I'm going to take 10% of the stuff. Out of every box, 10%, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to take the 10% that is, like, not the most useful. Like, that's how you can baby step it in basic and realistic plan, even the cluttering. But right now I'd work on detaching from the thoughts around it first. Does that make sense?
Okay. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. It's just taking your time with it. You don't have to get all that shit out to not feel anxious about it. You can just start telling yourself, I'm working on decluttering the thoughts around it first before I actually start decluttering the things around it. You know?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Well, and I think you're doing great. I just want, you know, I know that you had said you have social anxiety and stuff. I just want you to really understand how good you're doing. You're sticking with it. You're in an amazing accountability group. You're asking the questions. You're getting coached. I mean, you ask a lot of questions, which is always a good thing. You're starting to see all the progress, especially when your brain is like, I want to work on these things too. That's what we want. We just don't want to like go too fast. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm on day 17 of 67 doing my plan and assessment, my realistic plan.
Good.
So, I'm learning so much from you. Thank you so much.
It's that magic pulled it out of my ass number.
I love that.
All right.
Well, talk to you later, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Miss, was it Shelby, right, that we were doing next? Let's see. Y'all, my sinuses are legit in this house. All this dust. All right, do we have sound?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay!
Tell us the magic of what you had to do.
First of all, I had to put on my readers.
Yes.
To see what was going on. But I had to go into settings and turn on the Zoom.
Okay, great. Perfect. All right. Well, what do we need coaching on?
Well, Corinne, I am just kind of have a couple interesting situations, and it's with my wife. We've been together for 15 years and we blended a family.
Okay.
And between the two of us, I wasn't going to cry. Between the two of us, we have three children. And as you know, your children are your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them, we have left home. One's 33, one's 19, and the baby that's home is mine. I brought him with me. And as time has progressed, my wife has gotten very negative and her space is very negative, and she is not supportive of him at all. So he is not feeling supported by her. His weight is out of control. He has no self-esteem, and she continually tells him these things, berating and belittling him to the point he will not come out of his room if he knows that he's going to run into her.
How old is he?
He's 16.
Okay, so he's Logan's age. Okay.
Yeah, he's 16. He's very sensitive. And a couple weeks ago, he asked me if he and I could leave, which it is an option, and I've thought about it. But I've tried to work with him and let him know that he needs to put up a barrier, and these are her thoughts. They shouldn't affect him. But at 16, it's very difficult for a 16-year-old to do that when peer pressure is all they know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I failed.
Well, that's the painful thought first. That's where we have to start. Before we can help him, we have to help you not feel like a failure. There's no difference between the way what he's making her words and stuff mean. Mm-hmm. He's making all that mean something about him. And that's why he feels bad. Just like you're watching all of this, you're watching her and his interaction, his thought or his statements to you, and you're making it mean something terrible about you. I failed him. Did you fail him?
In a way, I feel like I did. Did I? No. But it is my thought, yes.
Right.
As a mom, you want to provide absolutely everything for your children and put them in a good environment. And I know that it's not a great environment for him. I also know, too, that he's 16 and he brings some of his own bullshit into it that creates it and doesn't help the situation when he should try, but he chooses not to try. He just would rather avoid and not participate.
Right.
And so when he does that, of course, all the negativity is fired at me. And
So why do you stay?
Right now, he'll be a senior next year. And I just want to get him through.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I ask because what happens is a lot of times we get so caught up in making the situation mean that we're a bad mother, we're this, and what you're not doing is spending near enough time with the reasons why you do stay.
Mm-hmm.
You spend too much of your time not liking the situation and spending a lot of time in how this is something terrible about me.
Mm-hmm.
That you're like, and I know this sounds crazy, but like when you spend more time in why you're actually there, it allows you to support him better. It allows him to see you not getting too caught up in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that, oh, okay, it really is her thoughts. If my mom leads the charge on what's your wife's name?
Michelle.
If mom is leading the charge on Michelle's thoughts being all her, and this is just where she's at right now at her age or where she's at, whatever it may be. Like, as long as you stay in that space, he starts seeing that and feeds a different energy off of you. Doesn't mean he's going to feel amazing. And it doesn't mean he's going to be like, oh, I love her now, all this other kind of shit. Doesn't even mean Michelle's going to change. What happens, though, is Shelby starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby starts holding a very different space and can hold a very different space for him. You know, when you're looking at your kid and they're crying or they're shutting down or whatever, and what's running in your mind is, I have failed you.
Mm-hmm.
It will come out in how you act. So like when you're thinking, I have failed him, what happens for you? Like, how does this manifest in the actions?
I try to fix everything. I go over, above, and beyond. I am the go-between between the two. I try to make her happy so she's not yelling. I try to make him happy so he has what he wants and he doesn't feel like he's being neglected. It's exhausting. It really is.
And meanwhile, no one's happy.
Exactly. Exactly. And the environment doesn't change. You know, it's me running back and forth frantically trying to make peace with everybody.
Yeah. And the best thing that we can do is make peace with ourselves as to where we're at in the situation and focus on why we stay in it or why we're not going to stay in it. Whatever you're going to do, like when you really just come at a place of like, okay, this is where I'm at, then you can like, rather than trying to make people happy, you can start telling people the truth. Sounds like you're doing a really good job with your son on trying to like explain thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. One thought that I would not keep practicing though is he's 16 and it's hard for him.
Okay.
I want you to think about that. It may or may not be hard, but it for sure never benefits you to think that anytime you're teaching him how to manage his mind and emotions, that that's just hard for a 16-year-old. Like that would be like me saying, you know, all of you that have, you know, had weight loss, it's probably just going to be hard for you to really understand how to lose it. Like if I ever came at it from that mindset, are there a lot of you where it is hard for you? Yes.
Absolutely.
But is it ever beneficial for me to lead all of you thinking, but Shelby, this is just going to be really hard for you. I'm going to try to help. Oh, this is hard. Like right. If that runs through my brain, then I can't see things in a way that helps you just see what is actually going on. The more we can just see what's actually going on, the better our responses and stuff are. So like, I want you to think about your son the way I think about Logan.
Okay.
I always just think, there's no one better than me to explain thoughts and feelings.
Right.
He's very lucky to have me because some moms would never be able to even share this with their kids. Like
right.
That will help you not feel like a failure because the problem is you keep feeling like a failure and you're leading with feeling like failure. And I want you to lead with feeling like I'm his mom and there's no one better than me to parent him through this.
Right. I agree. And in doing that, though, how do we coexist in an environment that we come up with so much negativity? How do you do that? Because it's just derailed me. I've been with you since 2017, October of 2017, and I'm still where I started, truth be told. And you just get, it's exhausting. And by the end of the day, there's nothing left because you've just put so much energy into trying to make everybody else coexist.
I think the problem is because you're working hard on having people coexist rather than working hard on you not judging the situation so much. You will not feel as depleted at the end of the day and need to eat when you don't feel depleted. Her words are her words. The reason why you feel depleted is because you're making her words mean you're failing and that her words are wrong. I'm not saying her words are right or beautiful or you need that, like, you know, the unicorn thought around it. They just need to be her words.
Right.
Like put distance between, like right now, your circumstances, she's not doing a good job for us. She's negative. Like your circumstance has her being negative, has all those things you said, I guarantee you, like you could do a model and you could get it right. But the model in your heart has her circumstance being a bitch.
That is correct. And I did try to model it. And the unintentional I did great with. It's the intentional of let her be her. It's just her being her and just moving forward and doing the things that I want to do. That's very hard to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go that far yet.
Okay.
I would start with, I'm learning to not make her words mean I'm a bad person.
Or he's a bad person because he's not.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, why are you, like, if she's so wrong, then why are you guys so quick to believe her by getting upset?
I don't think that anybody believes her. I just think it's just so often and it's so repetitive that it's just, that's all he hears.
Yeah, but you believe if he hears it enough that it's going to do something to him.
I think it already has.
I think that's just not helpful for you to hang on to that. Like, I don't want you to be thinking about all that. I want you to be thinking about, like, we need to just agree that, like, I don't even know if you need to go to this is who she is. I think you need to start separating out, like, the two of us can overcome. Mm-hmm. Like, I can teach him better. Like, you need to focus on what you can control. Not going to be able to control her thoughts and her feelings and what she says.
Right.
The one thing you can control, though, is for right now, understanding we're putting up the wall. Mm-hmm. The job now is not to think, well, that's just her. And now we're going to, because that keeps you in peacemaker mode.
Right.
I want you to start thinking about, like, it is fine for me to totally disagree with all of this.
Okay.
It's totally fine for me to teach my child to totally disagree with all of the thoughts and opinions. Because mm-hmm. I know you don't think that like what she says is right, but you give her credit for being right when you think you failed because of what she's saying and how he's feeling based on it. That's how you end up giving her credit. And I don't want you doing that. And I don't want you not liking her. I just want you to be neutral with her for right now. And just be like, I'm working on my son. I'm working on me. And then you can have like an honest conversation with her with no expectation of her changing and just saying, I'm just going to let you know that this is what's happening over here. And I'll handle all of this. But I'm handling all of this because these words hurt.
Sure.
They're hurt, like, you know, they're hurting him. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having that conversation with someone, but you can't have that conversation thinking you're going to have it. And she's going to be like, what? Oh my God, I'm changing on a dime. No, you know what she's going to do? Probably lash out or whatever. And I would just be like, and you can keep saying all that all you want, but here's what I do know is going to happen from now on. I've told him that when you talk to him like that, he should just go to his room. Like, say, like, when these things happen, this is where we have a boundary. So boundaries, just for everybody to know, here's how boundaries work. Boundaries are when you are emotionally or physically violated. A lot of us want to set boundaries of like, well, my husband brings in chips, or, you know, it's always some kind of like, you know, well, he always says I should do keto. It's like, that's not a boundary violation. That's just like have your own back. When someone like is talking to a 16-year-old and you see an emotional reaction and it's your child, you have every right to, at that point, set boundaries. And boundaries are for you. They're not for that person. They're for you to say, either on the inside or outside. They don't even have to be spoken. But when this behavior happens, this is the action I take. I remove myself. I don't listen. I walk out of the room. I tell my son to do the same. Whatever it may be, it's never like, you can't say that anymore. Don't you see how you're making us feel? That is like invitation to war.
True. Yes. Been there.
And here's the thing with the boundary. The second you set one, it has to be 100% honored from that point forward. So if you say, you know, the next time, like, I get you feel this way and that you think this way, and I'm not telling you you have to stop. But when you say that, this is what I will be doing. And then the next time it happens, you got to be woman enough to not make peace and you have to walk out.
Okay.
That's when boundaries are hard, because what most of us do is we set boundaries thinking the other person's going to change, and boundaries are all about you changing so that you can feel different. And then you have to honor them.
Mm, very good. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. I know 16-year-old boys, they, have very interesting thoughts and feelings. Logan, of course, Logan's a little ahead of the curve. He has a life coach as a mama, but he tells me all the time, he's like, mama, I don't understand adults. They just, don't they know they can control how they think? I'm like, no, they don't. That's why mama has a job.
And mine thinks that all the answers are on Google. So, hey.
Well, Logan thinks his is on YouTube. There's a video for that somewhere. It's all YouTube. So, well, good luck.
Thanks, Corinne. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. Julie. Guys, a treat today, Miss Collins. Lemon Mafia coming up in the house. I'm sure all these newbies are like, why are you all about Julie Collins? I've known Julie for the longest. Well, Paula Wareham, I've known the longest, but
hello.
Hello. What are we coaching on? That beautiful picture behind you. It's everything, by the way.
I love it. Thank you. We are talking about something new and something old. Actually, maybe probably old since you know me well.
Okay.
So we're talking about Dan.
Are we really?
Yeah, shockingly enough. Well, okay. Originally, when I set the call, the appointment, I really wanted to talk about Dan and talk about same old manual, blah, 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 right? But I went in and re-listened to the relationship, the bringing sexy back, because we finished being cleared to go back in the bedroom after my surgery.
Okay.
And I actually put him off for like 2 weeks. I was having a lot of thoughts around that. But also, you know, the biggest issue still, and I think that in the last couple of years, I've done a lot of work at, I'm going to do me and I'm going to let him do him. Okay. And, you know, he's very supportive. He really is. And he does everything he can to, you know, to make me happy in whatever way. But I just, like when he comes home, in the last couple weeks, I guess, like he started, I'm going to join the gym, I'm going to do this. And he started doing stuff. And then all of a sudden he came home, and I was listening to the live today, in the public live. And you were talking about how you have to come in and decompress and all of that. And that's him. And, I'm usually working when he does that. And I just have a hard time with it.
So what do you have a hard time with?
Like I know I can't impose my manual on him, and I worked hard on that. And oh my gosh, I've done a lot of models on this in the last 2 weeks. But I can't help, like when it is happening, like all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, why is he doing that? Why is he not committing? And why is he not?
Like, what is he not doing?
Like he joined the gym so he could go with me. So when the time to go comes around, he's like, all right, no, I don't feel well. I'm not going to go today.
Okay.
And I have to wrap my mind around that. And
why is that hard to wrap your mind around, that he's not motivated to go to the gym? Because, you know, everybody is. Been motivated to go to the gym this morning, and it's one door away from my living room.
I know. I guess because I felt that he started to come around, and you know, and one of the things that he said to me is like, you know, and he wasn't saying it about the gym, but he was just saying, it's like, it's your way or the highway. And pretty much, like, I like things done my way. And
you have a lot in common. When he doesn't feel like going to the gym, guess what he wants to do? Sit on his ass.
Right.
Why are you letting, this is the thing. Why do you let that bother you is the question.
Well, mainly because I'm always afraid of his terrible health. I'm afraid of, he had a father that died at 52, a brother at 47. Two of his living brothers had heart attacks and a stroke. And
you think he knows all that?
He knows that. And
I think getting pissed is like adding value to your current relationship?
No, it's not. And I think that I had to really kind of, well, I had to stop. I can't nag him. I've learned that. I need to, and I've continued, okay, this is my path. This is what I'm doing. One of the things that I've adopted in the past couple months is he really hates when he likes to eat in front of the television. I hate that.
I know. We've been talking about this for like 3 years. You like to sit at the dining room table. He likes to eat in front of the TV.
So guess what? I sit at the dining room table, and I come to Jesus, and I said, sweetie, I'm sorry. I need to be mindful of what I'm doing. And it actually has worked. Like, there's days that he joins me. There's days that he doesn't. And I'm okay if he doesn't, but I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't, like, care for himself, I know that I can't control that. I can't control that he cares or not, doesn't care.
You're making it mean when he doesn't care for himself that he's going to die.
Right. And I become very afraid. I become very afraid of him not being here. And
because when he misses a day at the gym, you're focused on him dying. Rather than just being like, that's Dan. He's not consistent. I should just model consistency.
That's a good one.
I mean, this is the thing, Julie. Are you super consistent? Like, I know you've been on a roll, so I don't want to bust your chops, but I'm just saying, all this time that you've been worried about his death and everything he's doing and all this other kind of stuff, have you been consistent?
No, not at all.
The best way, I swear to God, the best way, if this is not going to change him, but for sure won't change him, is you continue in the same pattern of being up and down in your own consistency because you're sitting around thinking about his death rather than sitting around and thinking about, okay, he's not going to the gym today. I'm going to love him through it. I'm going to show him that I can be super supportive. I can still go to the gym. I can show him what an amazing life we have together. And maybe that will spur him to want to live longer in it.
It's so simple when you say it.
I know.
I mean, I can say it to somebody else. Just living it is the hardest part. And I think that...
Because you're just married to your thoughts. Just keep, like, every day... Like, how many of your thought downloads in the last 3 weeks have been, like, fucking love letters to Dan as if he's going to be here the rest of his life?
None.
Yeah, that's why you're not thinking about it that way.
And I did have to change my thoughts in order to get in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, my thoughts around, like, oh, is it going to be the same or is that? But also, like, oh, my God. He's not taking care of himself. He doesn't love himself. Why would I, you know, want to, you know, be intimate with him? And I think that that was a big change. And it's certainly changing my mind around that and being loving and thinking differently helped me.
Yeah. Don't start mourning him before he even dies. What if we just celebrate him the whole time he's here and see how that changes things?
Right.
Don't have an expectation on it, though. Here's the expectation. When you celebrate him, no matter how he shows up, you get to feel all the love the entire time the two of you are on the face of this earth. So I know you love him to death. None of us worry about all of us that sit around and like think about their health and stuff. Like I got over this with Chris a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I always thought, oh my God, don't you know, Logan and I could never survive without you. That was my story around Chris and like not getting on the treadmill in the morning. Like, you know what he's doing? He's loving the shit out of us. The reason why he's on the treadmill most days is because he's really tired because he gives so much to us.
Right.
And I started telling myself that story. And then guess what? Sometimes Chris goes get on the treadmill and sometimes he doesn't. And I stay out of his business on that. But I control what I can control. Not offering to go out to eat all the time. Offering to be home and have healthy dinners. I control what I can. Like, I'll ask him, like, I know we only have 15 minutes. Will you just go walk with me? I just have a few things I want to talk to you about. And sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. But I'm putting it all out there. I'm creating an environment where I'm not nagging and worrying, where I feel good. I feel like I'm doing some stuff.
It's okay to say to him, you know, and he does. Sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. Let's go for a walk or whatnot. And it's okay to still do that?
Yeah, that's fine. It's when it's not okay is to say, let's go for a walk. And he's like, no, I just want to sit in my chair and stuff. And you're like, see, you're going to die. You don't give a shit. I'm not even going to have the sex. Why would I bother? That's when it's not okay. Now it's okay to say it and he say no and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go for a walk anyway. I'll see you in about 15 minutes. And you just keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I promise you, most people, after a while, they just keep watching and they see the ease of participation and the no strings attached to it. They want to be involved in it more. But when it's heavy and it's all this other stuff, he's like, yeah, let me just say no so your bitch ass will get out of here. So I can watch TV. I don't think he's thinking you're a bitch ass, but probably Chris does.
Some days, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure Chris sometimes is like, I don't know what the fuck I married, but woo, I'm in.
Some days he does.
I want you to quit thinking that everything he does is one step closer to the grave. That has to be step one for you. you need to start thinking about like how you can just model consistency, how you can create the environment that makes it easy for him. He displays right now that it's not easy for him to do these things.
Right.
How can I make it so easy for him to make these choices so that when he's ready, it's a no-brainer? Like, think about problem solving from that aspect versus problem solving from he's going to die. Like, all these people died yet young. Like, you're trying to problem solve from that, and that's why it feels so terrible.
Makes sense. You know, it's, and I mean, he has been supportive, but I need to just watch my thoughts around a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I had a, for as consistent as I was, I went to the gym and worked out every single day in the month, and I only had 14 recovery sheets.
In the month. Good.
I didn't lose any weight. And one of the things that I started to blame him, in a sense, is because, I know, because we, so it's our anniversary, we partied, and I just, so the course was helpful on Monday going through, but I know that I need to clean up my thoughts around that, because.
Yeah, because it's not his fault. I don't think Dan was sitting there with, what'd you eat? Give me one thing you ate that was good.
No, we drank a lot.
All right. I don't think he said, like, what was your favorite drink?
We went to a couple wineries and a couple breweries.
All right. So I don't think he sat there with a bottle of wine and was like, Julie, turn it up. And you were like, no, it's not on my plan. Don't make me drink it. I don't think that happened.
Listen, I was very good. I put 10 drinks on the plan. I never had 10.
Yeah, you put 10 drinks on your plan, you have 10 drinks, you're not going to lose weight. But right. You stayed very aware so that this month, guess what you're not having to do? Get into the habit of planning. That part's over. Now we don't plan all that. Now we plan for weight loss.
Right. So,
yeah. And we don't plan on Dan being involved in it.
Right. And that's my issue. I can't, you know.
This is the thing, Julie. You're like me. We're both big time A types, but there's a small piece of us that just wants that man to just kind of take care of a few things, make things easier. I mean, I know, like, you're big time feminist and stuff, and I'm just telling you right now, you would not put all that energy and effort in him and blame him and stuff if there wasn't a little bit of like, could you just take care of this? It'd be so much easier if you would.
It would be so much easier for sure.
Right. And it's like, no, you're a strong ass woman. You don't need it to be easy. You need it to be done.
Right.
And that's what you need to keep telling yourself.
Okay.
All right, lady. Good call.
All right.
Give Dan a hug for me. Tell him, like, God, that Corinne has your back.
He said that to me on Monday. He came home early from what he was doing, and I was casting the course on TV, and I thought, oh, all right, I'm going to go. And he's like, no, I'll listen. So he sat through the whole thing.
Well, not many men would. So there you go.
Yeah. And he's excited to see you at the race.
Oh, is he coming?
Yeah, we're driving down.
I cannot believe it. That race is going to be here before we know it. And it's like 70 degrees outside today. I'm taking a walk this afternoon.
Great. Have fun. All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thanks.
All right. Let's see. We got one more. Who is it? Laura Gray. Where are you? There you are. Did it do it? Oh, there it goes. Somebody in the, oh, hey, I could, you know what, you and there's Lisa Gray. Both of you sometimes get on calls, and I was like, I think it's Laura. It's not Lisa. Did you turn your audio on? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yay.
All right. So what are we coaching on, mama?
How you doing, mamas? However, before that, two things. Number one, you know, we all love a shout out from the queen, right? Like the first shout out I got, I think, about peed myself. I was so excited. And I think that was on one of the Facebook tribe, just a P&P Girl Live. You've given me several shout outs. However, you get my last name wrong every time, lady. You're calling me Larg.
You called me Larg Ray. I just now noticed it was Gary. Oh my God. And I put my glasses on.
Every time.
Well, this will help because, I was just sitting here thinking because I always get you and Lisa Gray mixed up. Right. I won't because it's Gary.
There we go.
All right.
That's awesome. First thing. Second thing, I just love, number one, the big ass action. Like, just to let you know, I was on vacation the last part of March and even like still April 1st. And I hadn't done my calendar yet. I'm still kind of partially into it, but I thought I need to do my March assessment and I really don't want to because I haven't really lost much for March. Then I went, oh, I can do that. I don't want to do it, but I can do that for April 1st. So I did my March assessment for it and I came up with some really great things. And I was just really proud of myself for doing it and really like, wow, Corinna, she's brilliant. She's, you know, she's on something. I didn't want to do it. I did it anyway. I'm really proud of myself. It's a little win. I mean, all the steps that led up to it are afterwards.
Brilliant. Will you tell all these new people how much weight you've lost?
Oh, I've lost a little over 50 pounds from when I joined in May of 2018. So 10 months.
Just want all y'all to hear that. Just
and the- March was not. Here's another thing before we get into the mama drama. What I've noticed with having my data, and this is the story I'm choosing to tell myself anyway. So I started in May, but it was the end of May, so May doesn't really count. June, July, August, September. I had 4 months of pretty consistent weight loss, I would say. October, it was horrible. I only lost like maybe 2 pounds. Like I was like, really? But I felt like I was getting smaller. I did my measurements and I really did have some significant changes in that. And so I was like, okay, so maybe I just needed a month to recalibrate. I don't know. But then now March, not my best month. So to see October, November, December, January, February, March is my 10th month. So maybe my body every 5th month just needs to recalibrate and kind of do its thing. I don't know if that's scientifically true or not, but I'm going to tell myself that. And well, so for the next 4 months, hey.
Then you can kick ass. Well, I will say there is some science behind it. I could never give anybody, if anybody says, get me a link, no. But I do know this. The body loves to have patterns. It's always trying to create patterns in everything, even in weight loss. Like, so there's a lot of people that will like not lose weight for 3 weeks. They'll drop a significant amount on the 4th, mm-hmm. and then it'll be really slow and then a big drop. There are just like everybody's bodies all have very different patterns. And that may be one that you've just found. So,
yeah. And I've definitely never stuck with anything this long with this kind of data to like prove and show that, like never, ever, ever. And I'm pretty amazed by it actually. Like this, I mean, it could be, it's what well, my data is showing.
Why you've lost 50 pounds. It's because you track, and you look at things. And like in this moment, it's helpful because if you don't have your data, then what you do is you sit there and be like, oh, it's wrong. I'm on a plateau. I'm never going to lose weight. Like you have all this bullshit that comes up because you don't have anything to like counter the argument. And you right. did. So. Well, what's
even with having time? This, even to can't counter the argument, I even have it. And I'm still arguing that I had to really delve into it to argue with myself that, okay, these are just bullshit thoughts that there's no truth to them whatsoever. Even so much that this is my March. What is it? The four basics tracker. I mm-hmm. love this thing. And I mean, I know you can't see it, but for the May to 24-hour plan, I went back and said, okay, you basically practiced a whole month of maintaining. What could you have done differently? And I went through, I didn't have that many like off-plan eats at 6 out of 15, or I had 15 total off-plan or overeats, but 6 of them I did recovery sheets on because I had, not recovery sheets, I marked it. I had, even though I planned it, I was planning a lot of extra stuff that I thought, you know, there was a cupcake here, there was a cookie here, there was a, you know, dark chocolate walnuts here. They were more of my exception foods were on there than what I normally have been putting on. So, yeah. It's just the data. It's just the data. So
I swear to God, you could take a data course in our tribe.
I love it. Okay. So mama drama. Oh, I've done the relationship course. I've listened to it. And then I went back and did it again with actually like intentions of my mom. And I don't want to go like over, and I've listened to quite a few of the coaching calls, and everything that I get is, I don't need to tell you any of the backstory because it doesn't matter.
It's not exactly. Bad. The newbies are like, no, tell me how bad your mom was.
No, it doesn't matter. Backstory has nothing to do with how I show up with my relationship with my mom today. Right. And that's where I'm at. So I'm just, I don't know how to reframe my thoughts on this now. I don't know. And the only backstory I'll give you is there's a possibility. Like right now, my mom is living with my sister. It's not going well for them. I feel like we need to share the responsibility. I travel with work. So my next possible like solution to where this is 3 months. Mom comes and lives with me because most of my assignments are at least 3 months, and I can do a 3 month kind of gig somewhere. 3 months she lives with me, 3 months she lives with my sister, and we kind of break things up a little bit. And my mind starts spiraling even at the thought of that. But even more than the thought of that, my mind spirals because I feel like it's all on my sister right now, and she doesn't have the PNP she needs. PNP needs the thought work. I'm trying to give her some of the thought work behind it and helping her, you know, change how she thinks on some things, but she doesn't have the mental tools or skills or support that I have with PNP to handle it mentally. And
what are the current thoughts you guys are having that's making it hard to, like, what's going on with mama? So like, if she did come live with you for 3 months, why is that a bad thing? Why is it not like, oh good, I'm going to have my mom for 3 months and help her?
Because we feel like her, that everything she does just about is very disrespectful. Okay. Like for my sister said, Mom, I can't live like this anymore. Like there's like, she like a lot of clutter, like not cleaning up her mess, like cooking in the kitchen and just leaving like meat and food out. And it, I mean, like really, really bothering my sister. So she talks to me about it. And I said, you know, have you talked to Mom? Have you said, hey, you know, Mom, this is how I feel. This is why this is like really bothering me. Have you said the stuff you're telling me to her? No. Her feelings. Well, she finally got to the point where she laid it down and she talked to her about it. She just put it all out there on, you know, how this makes her feel, that how she's not liking her home anymore, how it's just the clutter and the chaos is like really affecting her. And instead of my mom saying, you know, maybe I can do a little bit more, maybe I can do this. And cause she even ended it. Can we just kind of meet in the middle a little bit somewhere and just, you know, to where we can both live and, you know, and just work together a little bit better. Cause my sister feels like she's always like on mom. And she doesn't want to be like that. And obviously my mom's feeling it too. Tina said about halfway through the conversation, she just got this look on her face where she's checking out. We know the look, we've done the look, we get it. She's checking out. And my mom said, you know, instead of like her daughter coming to her and saying, can we work on this? My mom said, I think I just need to move out.
Yeah. She probably feels attacked.
Right. She said, okay, you know, so that's okay. She's okay to move out. There's nothing wrong with that. If she wants to move out, that's fine. But she can't, like, where she wants, what she feels like she wants to move out to. She wants to move into like a 3-bedroom house. She feels like she needs a 3-bedroom house to take care of, you know, for all. But she can't really afford that. And to do that, she's going to just have roommates, just let random people come in and move with her.
You guys have an ideal of your mom that does not exist, but you hold her to the standard of someone who doesn't exist. This is your mom. Like, your sister's upset that your mom wasn't like, oh, you're right, I should clean up after myself. All these years of being a grown ass fucking woman, I didn't realize I should put meat away.
No, I mean, we know that she's like that.
Yeah, but you guys get upset that she doesn't, like, your sister is upset that your mom didn't take all this feedback and just be like,
and work on some of it. We work on some of it. Not, I mean, we're not asking for like an overnight change, but
no, you're not. But your emotional problem, I want you to think about this. Your emotional problem is you think that your mom should respond in a different way. So you can't feel good unless your mom decides to respond in a different way. So you're saying, right. This is Laura. Hi, Mom. You're the person who's never been able to handle their emotions well or even live in reality. You live in delusion land. But I've got an emotions basket, and now I'm handing it over to you. Will you please take care of them? And like really well, too. Like, don't fuck with them.
Right.
Nurture them and pet them and bring them back to me coated in gold. Mm-hmm. Is your mom the most skilled person in the world to behave in a way that you and your sister can feel like, oh, now we have the normal mom?
No, no. And that would be okay. Like, not that it would be okay, but like her solution to it is not, she can't do that. She can't
Are you shocked though? You're talking about it as if it should be different and I should agree with you. Oh yeah, you got a shitty mom.
No. I'm not. I'm not saying that I have a shitty mom, and I'm saying these are the circumstances. The circumstances are she can't live with her. She can't live on her own. Like, she can't drive on her own. She wants to get a car and drive. She can't do that anymore. And when I told her that, I said, Mom, you can't do that. We're talking about your safety. We're talking about other people's safety. And I mean, I said it. She was not happy.
Your mom's reaction? The problem isn't that you told her this. Your mom's reaction and your thoughts about it are the problem.
No. Like, her reaction was exactly how I expected. Like, I was on the phone when I was telling her this, and my husband was there. We were on speakerphone, and she got silent. And I said, Mom, I know. Look, I know that you don't want to hear this, and I know you're upset about it. And I know it's not hard. You know, this is not an easy thing to hear. And she's like, no, what am I supposed to do? I mean, that's what was going through her mind, which was good. I was glad that she gave me that, because I knew that's what she was feeling. And I was like, you know, Mama, I would hope that you would understand that I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to be, you know, ugly or to,
yeah.
I'm saying it because, and she just basically shut down, which again was fine. She shut down. She got a matter of fact.
But if it was fine, why are we needing to coach on it?
Which was fine because one of two things is going to happen. Either she's going to do it anyway, which terrifies me. I mean, we're talking about not just her safety, but other people's safety.
Right, but you can't control that. But I want you to listen where the problem is. You think your mom is the problem.
No, I really don't. I know it's my thoughts about her. I do know
Except
that it's my thoughts about her.
You keep telling me it's fine, but...
Because I don't know how to change my thoughts. Because I don't know how to change my thoughts. That's the butt on it. It's not, I'm not trying to say that she needs to.
What is the thought that's not working with Mom? Give me one thought that's not working with Mom. Yes. Let's go to the driving thing. You tell your mom this beautiful story of how she can't drive. I think you did a great job. I think you did an amazing job. And your mom gets what? Upset? She shuts down, then gets upset, right? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Is that what happened? I don't want to put it into any.
Yeah, no, that's what happened. And then, like, within 5 minutes, she said, oh, there's a guy across the street. I have to go talk to him. And just literally walked and left. And I said to my husband, who's she going to talk across? Who is she going to talk to across the street?
A guy.
Just a guy. Okay.
Yeah, like, just a guy. So we're good. So your mom just gets left. Upset that she can't drive anymore. Left.
Right. And so.
So is it fine or not fine?
No, that's okay. What's not fine is if she doesn't listen to us and buys a car on her own regardless. I mean, okay. She can go and do that.
Right. So,
and she still has a driver's license that is working and active, Laura, so she can technically do it.
Just breathe for a second. I want you to hear me.
Okay.
Has she done any of that stuff?
No, not as of right now.
Then what is the benefit of you envisioning your mom going off and doing all this kind of stuff? What if we just deal with what we have in front of us?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no benefit. I'm spiraling. That's for sure.
Yeah. Because you're afraid. What if you just decide, like, Mom is never going to like us setting boundaries on her ever. How old is she?
I'm 77.
Yeah, nobody at the age of 77 wants to be told they can't drive. They have to live with their daughters, that they can't just go get a 3-bedroom house and live with whoever they want. They don't want to be treated like a child at 77. And that is what's happening. Now, you're doing it from a heart of gold. It doesn't matter. Your mom is not going to feel amazing about being told she is losing her ability to take care of herself, which is what is probably going through her mind. My daughters are telling me I'm getting too old to make my own decisions and take care of myself and have freedom. But my daughters are getting upset, worrying about all kinds of stuff and wondering why I'm the bitch or why I'm, you know, reacting the way I am. It's like, stop being surprised that your mom doesn't like getting older. Period. She's the mother.
Right.
One day, do you have kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One day you're going to be old too. And you took care of them all their life and loved them. And they're going to have hard conversations with you too. Your opportunity now is to learn how you want to show up during that time.
Well, and that's one of my poison thoughts that I keep going back to, is that I don't understand why. I don't understand why she doesn't see that. Like, I truly believe when I get to that age that I will. When I get to that age,
She has a brain and she has emotions just like you do. She's probably sitting there going, I don't see why my kids don't understand why this is hard for me. They'll know one day when they're 77 and their kids are telling. That's probably what goes through your mom's mind. Just like my mother said, one day you're going to have a smart ass kid. You're going to know what I go through when I was 16 telling my mama what to do. We all have our own thoughts and feelings. You know what she's not trying to do right now? Figure out y'all's brain. She's just trying to hang on to her own.
Well, that's, again, that's like one of the, she's not trying to work with us. Like, she's not trying to work with us and making it easier for her. Like, and making it easier for all of us.
Because she doesn't, you think you're making it easier. You know what she thinks? That's your thought. See, you think the circumstances we're making it easier for you. That's your thought. You know what her thought is? You're taking away my freedoms. You're telling me what to do. You're treating me like a child. That's her thoughts that she thinks are circumstances. She thinks amazing stuff you're saying, her circumstances, these bitches are telling me what to do after 77 years of parenting. Now, she may not be as, you know, colorful as I am with it, but you know.
No, yeah. No one is as colorful as you are.
I always assume in everybody's brain there is a little ghetto Corinne running around talking just like me.
Mine's getting larger and larger and larger.
Yes.
Okay.
What I want you to see, though, is I think it all comes down to you're coming from a place of love. But even when we come from a place of love, doesn't mean we have the right thoughts around it. You want your mom to appreciate how much you love her and care for her. Your mom is not in the space right now. Like, that's number two priority. Number one priority is loving herself, because she probably feels like she's losing her independence.
Right.
Like, so I want you to do some thought downloads, because you're really good at doing your thought work. I want you to do some thought downloads and stuff on what could my mom really be thinking? Like, what if I erased all of my judgment around how it should be going and I was just going to like listen to all of it from my mom's perspective, these are the things I would probably be thinking and feeling. It will at least let you see that there's a whole nother truth going on. And then I think you can continue to talk to your mom about these things, but I want you to drop the expectation. You're getting frustrated because she's not agreeing with you. If you really know you're right, this is no different, Laura, than if you went to your husband and said, I am going to do PNP and lose weight. And he said, I just really think it's keto, honey.
Right.
You can still do it without having to like be like, but I know I'm right. I don't need you to agree with me to know that I'm right in this situation. And it's like with your mom, you don't need her to agree with you on the driving to know that you're right.
Right.
And if she goes out and tries to get a car, you deal with it then. But right now we don't worry about it, because you know what? After that conversation, she found a shiny object across the street and was like, bye, I got to go talk to this guy.
Right.
She can't be that tore up.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah, that was her way of getting away from it. I mean, I got that. I understood that. Like,
but yeah, but you know, she got away from it. She didn't.
One of the things that it's true. It wasn't at least it wasn't about a car. One of the things in one of the coaching calls that I listened to on moms, you said, how do I live with integrity over my choices and hold my space and my boundaries? And I guess I'll probably do some TDLs on being more clear on what my integrities are and with the boundaries that we have to set with her. Cause I'm very clear. I'm not setting them out of a place of, I mean, this is, they are for her safety. It is out of a place of love. It's trying to do what is best for her. I know that. I just don't know how to go about it, I guess. I don't know how to, especially without my thoughts. You're right. All of these thoughts that I thought I had as circumstances are like, no, they're just my thoughts about it.
What you want to do is you want to set the boundaries with her that literally keep her safe. Right. We don't talk to her about how she should act. Like your sister, this whole cleaning up shit. Yeah, it'd be really nice if she'd clean up after herself. She's not going to do it. If your sister wants a clean house and wants to take care of her mom, that's the package she gets. Just like when she lives with you, she's going to leave meat out on the counter. It'd be amazing if your mom would get enlightened. She's probably not.
But if you want to, when we try to talk to her about it, about germs or whatever, she just rolls her eyes at us. She just like, yeah. And because she's inoculated herself over the years, she has a stomach of steel over all the stuff. Me.
If I told y'all this weekend, my mom brings over our food prep, doesn't tell anybody, leaves it out on the counter. This is all of our food for the week. You know me, like right now, I'm paying Aunt JJ to cook so that I can be in here with y'all on Sundays. Well, it sat out for like 5 hours and we found it. And I was like, why didn't you tell us the food was in these bags? Oh, I just forgot. And so Chris looked at me and said, well, you want me to put that in the fridge? I said, only if we're going to eat the rest of the week. Yeah. So we've been eating it. And every day I look at him, I go like, you got any diarrhea yet?
Feeling okay? How you doing?
Like, so far, so good. I guess we're all.
I think that's basically my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law's conversation they've been having for the last several months. How you doing? And there's been a couple times when he has not been so lucky that I'm pretty sure he's had a slight case of food poisoning. But
then rather than expecting mom to change, get out a bleach wipe.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't eat it. That's what I keep telling him. Don't eat it. Be okay with saying no, thank you. Yeah. You don't have to eat it just because it's there. Yeah. PNP has come into play as well on that. Okay.
More TDLs. Right. When you more do TDLs. A thought download, you need to go through it with a fine-tooth comb for facts.
Okay.
That's where you're getting a little bit confused, is you're still conflating your facts and your thoughts. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to be at camp next week.
We can talk more about it.
I know, right? We will. And I might even go, look, Corinne, here are my TDLs. I don't know what's fact and what's not. I'm going to need you to highlight and do some red marking stuff on this. I don't know. So
we could do it. Yeah. We're talking now whether we're buying this thing called an Elmo or we're just going to go old school whiteboard or flip chart paper again. But we'll dig into all of it at camp.
No, let's do it. That's my topic. So I'm ready. That's really what the Mastering Relationship course was for. Before camp and the coaching call before camp so that I'm more prepared to delve deep.
All right. Well, thank you, lady. It was a good call. All right. Good luck. All righty. Bye. All right, all. That was it for all my newbies. I know you asked a lot of questions and all that kind of stuff. Somebody asked what a TDL was. It's a thought download. You will learn that in module 4. So this was what coaching looks like. We talk about all the things. So when you finish your no BS lessons for the week, or you feel like you're caught up and you're in your practice of doing the things in the no BS, all of these calls are archived within 24 hours in the private member podcast, in the Tribe Live feed. And it's also in the video replays where you can go push play. We have all kinds of calls. So this was a really good day for you because this was a big mix of between eating and, you know, just all the different things that we talk about here at PNP. So we are not a one-stop shop. We work on all the things. You guys have a great one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.